Hey, True Crimers, it's your host, Jonah B, and welcome to another episode of True Crime-ish, where we try to tell the stories as true as possible around here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Missing Monday segment. I don't know, y'all. I can't even get my words out. If tired was a person, like if you looked up the word tired in the dictionary, you would see like a nice, beautiful picture of my face. I'm so exhausted. I used my weekend to sleep. Like Saturday, Sunday, mostly sleep. I got out of bed 3 times on Saturday, and 2 of the 3 times was to leave for food. Sunday, I got my heathenish self up, went to church, got food, and went to bed. But it's like once I catch up on all my rest, I end up staying up all night. And like it kind of like ruins all the rest, all the sleep that I done got or like caught up for myself. And tomorrow's my birthday. And my ID expires. So I was trying to do the adult thing and make sure that I got it switched out before it expired. But here in the great state of Texas, anytime you want to make an appointment for the DMV, it's like months out. All my Texas people, I hate that I'm a Texas person, but all my Texas people know this. So like they do like a little first come, first serve to do like some. If you don't have an appointment schedule, you come ASAP in the morning, then they have like a few limited slots. So this morning, mind you, I don't think I closed my eyes to like 3 something, something like that. So the DMV, I'm going to tell a whole story time, but the DMV opened at 8. So I'm like, let me get out there by like 7:50, something like that. So I can go ahead, slide in. Like I even drove out to Waxahachie, the country, so I can make sure I got my spot. Y'all, I get out there at 7:50. It's all, I got up at 7 because my alarm was set for like 6:45. So this is like three hours of sleep, almost 4. I'm out there at 7:50. Why is there already 50 people in line? Like, I kid you not. Like, the parking lot's already full. People are in line. There are even people waiting in their cars. And I'm like, I'm never going to be seen. So I just drove away and went to McDonald's. And now here I am getting my podcast out on time. But like, y'all, if tired was a person, I just made up a little verse, but I ain't going to sing it to y'all because it ain't good. And my mama told me, don't be putting stuff out there on the internet that's going to be stuck forever. So like, yes, let's go ahead and get into saving some lives. Let's bring some people home. And y'all got one more story time. It's my birthday, so let's make it about me. Well, tomorrow's my birthday, so let's make today about me. Because it comes like it. Y'all don't know this, but like on my bucket list, I actually do want to be like a person who like helps find a missing person, or I like have a clue or a tip, or I see the person, like I want to be like directly involved in actually helping to bring somebody home. So the other night, many nights ago, I was driving home. It was like late. I was leaving work and I was taking a little exit on a ramp to get to my house. And I was like, dang, there's something in the road. And I'm like, dang, like it's other stuff in the road. And I look up and there's like pieces of a car. Long story short, bad, like one vehicle collision wreck occurred. I don't know what happened, but like it looked really bad. And I was like, dang, like let me slow down and actually like, so I could see if I need to actually help somebody. Cause like, this is my time to shine. Like, let me jump into action here. And as I began to slow down, I'm kind of like trying to see what I can see. But before I can even like slow down real good, I'm like, nah, Jonah, what are these folks going, like, they got guns in the car. They're waiting to kill you. This is all a setup. So I kind of like skirt off even faster. And I made sure to like call the police and things. But the moral of this story is I'm not as much of a superhero as I thought I was. Like, I really thought that all of me would want to jump in and help. But before I could even get there, I was like, nah, they might try to kill me. And I was not on my Hero Academia. I was not on that. So it's just like, I'm tired and I'm talking crazy, but I guess I said all that to say, like, what if I am not like this Captain Save a Person like I thought? Like, I was in my head, I was mentally ready to jump in and help, but it really hurt me to find out that I was not a superhero like I thought. So I still hope that if I am out there on the street and I see, like, I don't know, a kidnapped person, I hope I do spring into action and not be like, oh no, her kidnapper might try to kill me, or his kidnapper might try to kill me, if y'all following me. But I just want to give y'all a little insight on where my head has been 2024. Yeah. But anywho, let's go ahead and get into these cases, because I hope that we are all staying vigilant and aware that a lot of times it is us that can crack the case. The right person just needs to hear it. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. On March 18th, 1990, the Millbrook family was up early, ready to get on the church van. Remember those days? Hated those days, but amen. Mom Mary Sturgis, aka Miss Louise, Danette Latonia Millbrook, Jeanette Latrice Millbrook, twins, obviously. Don't know if you could tell from the matching names, but I love that. And their six other siblings. So yes, in total, eight Millbrook kids and their mom about to get on the church van. So while at church, the pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church on Laney Walker Boulevard gave Miss Louise some money to help the family buy some lunch. So Miss Louise sends the twins to Church's Chicken. Love that. like 15 to 20 minute walk from their house. And I don't know about y'all, but my calf muscles, these are not genetic. My mom built these calves since I was a little girl, had me walking everywhere. So 15 to 20 minutes does not sound outrageous to me. When they got back, Jeanette was putting the food on the table when she, like, decided to go ahead and tell her mom that somebody in a white van was following her and her sister. And I'm not sure if it was going to or coming from Church's Chicken, but the girls made sure to tell Miss Louise. So after eating lunch with their family, the twins had to walk to their godfather, Ted's house, to get some more money so they could be able to ride the city bus to school. The Millbrook family had just moved into a new apartment, which happened to be farther away from the twins' school. So the twins started making their 45-minute journey in an area that was not the safest. Now, 45 minutes, that's starting to sound like a lot. I remember me and my little sisters walking to elementary school. And I don't know, maybe it took us like 20 minutes. I feel like 40 minutes would have been like, yeah, we're not going to school. And we used to always stop at the store and like get snacks. So maybe that did turn into like a smooth 30 minutes, because we used to be late for school every day. But I'm doing a lot of talking about myself. Let's get back to the Millbrook family. So the twins, they leave in their godfather's house, and the godfather, Ted, gave them $20, and that included some extra money to buy some snacks. So after that, the twins stopped by their cousin Juanita's house to see if she could come over to spend the night, but she wasn't allowed to because it was starting to get dark soon. So next, the twins, and they're just walking everywhere, looks like, they ran around the corner to stop by their big sister's house. They stayed over there like 15 minutes before they asked her to walk them home, but she had just given birth, so she really wasn't up to it. Around 4:30 p.m., the twins made their way to the pump and shop near 12th Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. They bought some chips, candy, and something to drink. The store attendant, Miss Gloria, knew the Millbrook family, so she rang the girls up, and that was the last time that Danette and Jeanette Millbrook were seen. Jeanette was last seen wearing a blue pullover shirt and a white turtleneck with a beige skirt, white stockings, and white shoes. She was 5'4" and 125 pounds at the time. Danette, on the other hand, she was wearing a white Mickey Mouse shirt with white jeans, and she's 5'6" and was 130 pounds at the time. Both girls had pierced ears, shoulder-length hair styled in Jerry curls, and they both have a scar near their navels from a surgery shortly after birth. Now, the Millbrook twins case is a very unique one because soon after the girls went missing, they were removed from the Missing and Exploited Children database, and their case was closed even though they have still never been found till this day. Not sure why that was done, but it was done. So if there was anyone with information or if their picture looks at all familiar, please contact the Richmond County Police Department dispatch at the non-emergency line of 706-821-1080. Up next, we have Mitchell Dion Owens. On February 3rd, 1983, Ora Owens and her three sons were asleep in their Menlo Park, California home. During the night, Ora felt herself being attacked. Someone had broken into the home and started brutally assaulting her. Four-year-old Mitchell Owens, one of Ora's three boys, walked into the room and saw what was happening. Immediately, Ora yelled at him to run away. The attacker began to strangle Ora with the phone cord, and she ended up passing out. Neighbors found Ora the next day, and she was taken to the hospital where she regained consciousness. But no one could find Mitchell, her four-year-old son that I mentioned, and he is still missing to this day. Mitchell was 3 foot and was weighing 40 pounds at the time. He has black hair and brown eyes. He also has a right lazy eyelid with a surgical scar on his left rib area and a scar on the upper portion of his nose. And he may also go by the name Michael. Ora did catch a glimpse of the man, and he may have been someone she met at the Enlisted Men's Club at Moffett Field Naval Air Station in Mountain View, California. He offered to buy her a drink, but she declined and walked away. She thinks that the man followed her home and then drove away when she reached her door. He is described as 6 foot tall, with brown hair, blue eyes, a mustache, and tattoos on his arm. He was approximately 25 years old in 1983. It gets a little bit more weird because Ora also believed that there was another possible suspect. This was a man who knocked on her door just a few hours before the break-in. He identified himself as a police officer and was in uniform and asked about a report she made about a stolen purse the month before. The Menlo Park Police Department has no record of any of their officers stopping by the Owens home on that date. And it doesn't stop there. Ora received telephone calls for years following Mitchell's disappearance from an unidentified male. The caller repeatedly threatened to abduct her other two sons. The calls were never connected to Mitchell's disappearance, and authorities stated that they hoped current forensic technology could help solve Mitchell's abduction and the assault on Ora. But she has criticized the police investigation, stating investigators did not look hard enough for Mitchell because the family is, you know, black and poor. And the detectives proved her to be right when they labeled him as missing and refused to do anything else to try to find him. Up next, we have 14-year-old Autumn Jackson. Autumn was last seen November 24, 2023 in Riverdale, Georgia. She was last seen around 9:40 that morning wearing an ankle-length white puffy jacket with fur on the hood, gray sweatpants with her hair pinned up in a bun. She's 5'3", 110 pounds with the black hair and brown eyes. Police say Autumn also has undiagnosed asthma. Anyone with any information on her whereabouts, is asked to contact the Clayton County Police Department at 770-477-3550. Now, 14-year-old Kamora Cordero went missing from Worcester, Massachusetts, March 21st, 2024. Kamora was last seen at a friend's house on Main Street. She is 5'4" with dark brown hair and blonde streaks. She was last seen wearing blue jeans and a gray zip-up sweatshirt, along with a black purse. That's about all the details we have on Kamora's disappearance. So, if anyone has any information about her whereabouts, or if her picture looks at all familiar, please call the Worcester Police Department at 508-799-8606. Now let's move on to Corey Navore Richards. Corey's case has very little details, and that is not completely unusual, as we know, in our people of color cases, but for there not to be one news article available that I could get my hands on is crazy. The only details about this case comes from the Charlie Project, and they often are one of the goats when it comes to our cases being publicized at all. They reported that Corey was last seen leaving his residence in Miami, Florida on November 4th, 2014. And the last time anyone heard from him was on the 12th of November. There are no details on what was said during that conversation or who Corey actually even spoke to that day, but it would be the last anyone that we know of has spoken with him. Corey was 29 at the time, about 130 pounds, around 5'8", had black hair, brown eyes, and a possible goatee. He also had a treble clef tattoo in between his thumb and index finger, but not sure on which hand, y'all. We are also not sure on what Corey was last seen wearing, but if he is still alive today, Corey would be 39 years old. We will, of course, have pictures available on our Instagram to make up for such little details. If you know anyone who was in the Miami area during this period, please send these pictures out. If the man in the photo look at all familiar, do not hesitate to call the Miami-Dade Police Department at 305-715-3300. Another case with very little details is about Shamira Jennifer Minshra. She was last seen in Los Angeles, California on February 1st, 2022. We don't know who the last person was to see her or what she was last seen wearing as far as clothing, but we do know that she was also 29 years old at the time. She had on a gold 2012, like plated necklace, had black hair, brown eyes, and was 5'10", weighing around 160 pounds at the time of her disappearance. Once again, we will have her picture up on the Insta to help aid in bringing her home because I hate to keep saying once again, but the details are so like far and few in between. But if Shamira's is still with us today, she would be 31 years young. If her photo looks familiar, please call the LA Police Department at 877-275-5273. Next up, we have Lloyd Melvin Thomas, and this one hurts. It definitely stings a bit for sure. 88-year-old Melvin was headed from Covington, Kentucky to San Antonio, Texas to spend some time with his son. Lloyd's method of travel was the Greyhound, which I sadly have way too much experience with, but anywho, Lloyd was embarking on his 1,200-mile journey on July 24th, 1988, where he was seen loading the bus wearing a tan plaid jacket, a bluish-gray plaid shirt, gray pants, and he was also carrying a small brown overnight suitcase. Lloyd was almost completely gray, had a gray mustache, wore glasses, and was 5'11", weighing around 150 pounds. The Greyhound bus made three stops before arriving in San Antonio. The bus stopped in Louisville, Kentucky, Memphis, Tennessee, in Dallas, Texas. And at some point during one of these stops, Lloyd was never seen again. It was reported that Lloyd had started to get more forgetful, but had not been diagnosed with anything, so I'm not sure which degree he was at. But I also don't know what could have occurred that got Lloyd so turned around that he was not able to contact any of his people ever again. But I believe it was definitely something sinister. The chances of Lloyd still being here with us today is extremely low, but any information that can be obtained to bring peace to his family would be so helpful. Maybe you were on the bus with him that day. Maybe his face may look familiar, but if anything comes to mind, contact the Coveting Police Department at 859-292-2222. It's like five twos at the end. And last, but certainly not least, we have Shalonda Matthews. 34-year-old Shalonda Matthews, a.k.a. Bolo, a.k.a. Wee Wee, was last seen by her boyfriend on October 9, 2008 at their home on 6th Avenue in Columbus, Mississippi. Her boyfriend was questioned by the police and stated that he gave Shalonda some money to go get some things that morning, and he has not seen her since. The boyfriend was ruled out as a suspect, and no other leads have come to light. Shalonda is said to not be one to not check in or see her son, who is handicapped and being raised by her mother, leading her family to believe that she met foul play. We do not know what she was last seen wearing, but we do know she was 5'3" and about 130 pounds at the time. She has brown hair, brown eyes, and is left-handed. We will, of course, have her picture posted on our Insta. And if she looks at all familiar, please call the Columbus Police Department at 662-364-6446. I enjoy this segment. I enjoy the fact that we are consistently getting these details out there, just trying to help bring our people home. So many of these cases have so little details, and some of these cases don't even have like one news article that shows that somebody put the effort out here to get their cases out. It's highly disappointing. So that's why I love that we kind of take these matters into our own hands and trying to help our people. As I had said once this episode, tomorrow's my birthday, and I feel like the bestest gift you guys could give me is just being, share this episode, send it to one person, send it to a friend, send it to a coworker, send it to your mom, share this episode with one other person, and that would make me the happiest girl ever. So ready to get out next week's episode. I'm about to go crash out and get some rest before work, but I hope that you guys are all having a beautiful and safe Monday. And welcome to the most deadliest month there is. I can't wait to give you guys more details next episode. But April is what they call the beginning of killing season. So we'll have a lot of good juicy stories coming for you guys soon. And until next week, bye y'all. Mwah.